Our scripture text this morning is taken from 1 John, John's first epistle toward the end of the New Testament. 1 John chapter 4, and I'll be reading verses 7 through 21, actually. Decided to extend what's in the bulletin or what's in your order of service and read the whole context, the whole passage, and it's on page number 1902 in your pew Bibles, if you want to turn to it there. Before I introduce this text and this message and read the passage, let's pause for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you would come by your Holy Spirit to awaken our hearts and minds, to enliven our souls, that we might respond with love and obedience, that our hearts might be responsive to your precious, perfect, inerrant, holy word. Come by your Holy Spirit who inspired these words to illumine our understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I read this text, let me just say an introduction. Christmas is a time of giving. It always has been and always will be, I believe, reflecting Jesus' greatest gift, a one-of-a-kind gift to us. But one of the saddest things I've ever heard was about presents given from a grandmother to her grandchildren. Because of a quarrel or estrangement with a daughter-in-law, she was unable to give these gifts in person. In fact, she mailed these gifts to her grandchildren, but sadly they were returned unopened, marked refused, returned to sender. Can you imagine the hurt? Can you imagine the heartache? In fact, this grandmother was a good old friend of ours. We affectionately called her Aunt Edna, Edna Crispin, because our kids were little at the time. We actually met her. She was the first person we met in our first church in Sharptown some 35 years ago, or 37 years ago, I think it was. I think she was cued into the fact that the new preacher was coming for the interview with the SPR committee, and she was tending to and working on the flowers out front of the church to be the first one to catch a glimpse of the new preacher. And on the way in, we were introduced, and we became good friends. But Aunt Edna lovingly picked out and wrapped, carefully packed up and mailed these gifts. And even more amazing, she did it every year, even though they kept being sent back, refused, returned to sender. She said to us, maybe this year the kids will be allowed to keep them. The good news of this story is that although Aunt Edna passed away a number of years ago, we heard a few years before her passing that she and her daughter-in-law were reconciled, and her love and her gifts were no longer turned away. They were received by the grandchildren. Now, our good friend Aunt Edna was a great example of love that always keeps on giving, a love that endures all things. Love never fails. Inspirational giving, which is godlike, godly giving. This time of giving, we remember God's greatest gift of love that keeps on giving for us and for all the world. Listen as I read for you from 1 John chapter 4, beginning with verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us his Holy Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God lives in him. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. But the one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, "I love God," yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command: whoever loves God must also love his brother and his sister. This morning I want to consider Christmas love. Following up on last week when we were talking about the Advent wreath, the candle, the light of love, we're continuing on that same vein as Christmas, talking about the nature of God's love revealed in this passage in Scripture in 1 John 4. The nature of God's love and the nature of God's one-of-a-kind gifts. One-of-a-kind gift. The nature of God's love. First of all, consider this, that God's love is preeminent. It is first. It is most. It is premier in its significance. His love is supreme. His love is superlative. His love is highest and best, preeminent. Perhaps you remember what it was like to be in love. Remember how that felt? Now amplify that by infinity. I see you looking around. Ah, yes. When I was a teenager, I used to fall in love every week. Anyhow, felt so good. Know that God is in love with you. And any of your feeling of love, amplify that infinitely. His love is extraordinary. His love is extravagant. His love is eternal. Some people may have an unusual capacity to love. They have a gift of being able to love extraordinarily. But even that is only a shadow of God's love for us. His love is completely consistent. His love is uncompromising. His love is unconditional. That's good news for you and me as sinners. His love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me, the song says. Because God's love, and love is God's essential being. God is love. His quintessential love flows from who he is, for God is love. All of God's being is love. God's love is preeminent. It is first. And God's love is prevenient. It came first. It comes first. This is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us. Verse 10 of what I just read. God loved you before you even knew that He existed. Think of it. When we baptize a baby, that child is completely unaware of God's love and grace reaching down. And yet, hopefully as he or she grows up, she comes to know God's love in their life. God's love is reaching down to us, even before we know that He is, even before we sense His love. God's love is before you even existed. In fact, God loved you before you existed. God loved you even while you resisted Him. God loved you even while you spurned Him in your sin. Romans 5:8, Paul writes, but God demonstrates His love towards us in this. Or God proved His love toward us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I often will ask couples as they come into my office for premarital counseling before they get married. I said, okay, well, who fell in love first? Who was it that knew they were in love before the other, if it happens that way? Love at first sight, perhaps, maybe for both, but it's always a great story to hear. Love. Who noticed whom first? Well, the bottom line is God noticed you. God knew you from before the foundations of the world. And that word know, to know in a biblical sense, goes far beyond an intellectual knowledge. It comes to really mean the depth of intimacy and love. God foreknew you. God foreloved you. God drew you in and continues to woo you and I. God's love is preeminent. It is first. God's love is prevenient. It comes first. And God's love is prerequisite, pre-required. It comes before, according to this passage. You know what a prerequisite is? When I was in college, or when you were in college, you had to take prerequisite courses. In other words, before you could take upper level courses, you had to take whatever class it is, 101, before you could take 201 or 301 or 401. I had to take math statistics and then psych statistics before I could take upper level psychology courses. I hated statistics, right? I wasn't any good at statistics, but it was a prerequisite. I had to take it. I had to pass it, and I passed it slightly. Prerequisites. God's love for you actually is prerequisite for your loving Him and loving one another. It's necessary to experience God's love before you can really love one another. Yes, because we are made in the image of God, we can have a form of love. But to really love with 1 Corinthians 13 kind of love, perfect love, agape love, you need to experience the love that God sheds abroad in your hearts. All-surpassing love. Loving one another is no option, therefore, once you've experienced God's love. Our love is a necessary consequence of His love for us. And here's where the Christmas gospel comes in. The nature of God's gift is love. Because He loved, He gave. His motivation for giving was all about love. His gift is preeminent. It's a one-of-a-kind gift, in a sense. The sacrifice of Christ once and for all, dying on the cross to demonstrate his love? For God so loved the world. Yes, we love in a God-like, in a form of love, fashioned after his love. But his love goes so far beyond, it's totally unique and completely extraordinary. And Christmas is a celebration of that love in giving, a loving response to his gift of salvation. You know, as I was thinking about this idea of God's love being a one-of-a-kind love, or God's gift being a one-of-a-kind gift, you ever receive a gift that's one-of-a-kind? Whoa. Well, handmade gifts, I guess, are certainly one-of-a-kind. But you ever get a gift that you think, I never saw one like this, and I'll never hope to see one like this? Not regiftable, as the TV commercial says. Perhaps you've received some gifts over the years that are extraordinary in a negative sense. Perhaps you've received a one-size-fits-all kind of gift. I was wondering, you know, is God's gift of salvation a one-size-fits-all, or is it completely unique to us, to each individual? I don't have the answer for that. I'm still thinking about that. Yes, God's gift to you is unique and personal and personally designed, but his gift of sacrifice of love fits every one of us, one for all, one size fits all. His gift of his death on the cross covers every single one of us. This Christmas, behold, Christ stands at the door and knocks. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and fellowship with him and he with me, the Bible says. Jesus has a Christmas gift for you. He stands at the door to your heart, waiting for you to open the door and respond and receive him, waiting for you to come and receive this gift from him. Are you going to leave him outside holding the gift? Are you going to open the gift, unwrap it, and receive it as your own into your heart? That reminds me of a kid's song we used to sing when I was little in Sunday school. Into my heart, come into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Anybody remember that song? Four. Okay. I'll take it. Well, that can be the prayer of our heart today. On this Christmas, be open to receive him. Open your heart for this wonderful, glorious gift of eternal life. Allow him to come in and give you the gift of eternal life, the gift of salvation, the gift of himself. And in return, give him yourself. For that's the greatest gift you can give, the gift of yourself. Your open heart to our Lord Jesus. Well, my Christmas gift to you is a short Christmas sermon. We're done early. So let's praise God and let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the gift of your love. We thank you for the gift of grace, the gift of love, the gift of salvation, the gift of your Son. May we love you in return. May we so love one another that people might see our love for one another and know that we belong to you, that we are your children, and be drawn to you and to your love. Come, Lord Jesus, fill our hearts with this all-surpassing knowledge and love, perfect love, We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.